In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want, because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome.
Ohtani hammers one deep right field.
I knew he hit a home run because I heard it from the other room.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Somebody else hits a home run, it's not the same noise as when Ohtani does it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Is he a Hall of Famer right now? If he doesn't play another game.
Earlier on the show, Syracuse quarterback Kyle McCord. Coming up, Packers quarterback Jordan Love. Former MLB commissioner Bud Selig. Alabama linebacker Jihad Campbell. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And this is what we love about our guest list. We've got one of the top young Turks at the quarterback position in the National Football League. And the host quarterback for this year's NFL draft, Jordan Love, is going to join us. And then we have Bud Selig. Age 90 now, the former commissioner of Major League Baseball, joining us in support of a really fun documentary that you could see right now on the Roku channel, just a bit outside. The story of the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Wow,
when you read the title of it, you can't just go just a bit outside.
Right, exactly.
The story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Right, it's gotta be just a bit outside. and Bob Uecker, may he rest in peace, is one of the many bold-faced names involved with the 82 Milwaukee Brewers who did sit down for this documentary. I'm told it was his last interview of his life.
Wow.
And Bud Selig, Bob Uecker, Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, Ted Simmons, Raleigh Fingers, Gorman Thomas. Remember, these are the Harvey's Wallbangers, right?
Yep.
Cecil Cooper. Cecil. I loved him. Ben Ogilvy, loved him too. They all sat down. Moose Haas. I haven't had that in there. I haven't heard that name in a long time. And Bud Selig, obviously the owner of the Brewers. So he'll be joining us in the middle of this hour. Jihad Campbell in hour number three. And you throughout, 844-204-RICH. It's time to hear from you. Jordan Love going to join us. Andrew Berry, the GM of the Cleveland Browns. We were playing a soundbite from him earlier. In the program, where he equated Travis Hunter to Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oh yeah, and by saying he's great at one position, then he comes on and plays another position. He's great at that too.
Yeah. Seems like a fairly accurate.
It is that. Yeah. We just need to see, can he do it at the next level? And I'm gonna offer some pushback on some people who say he can't.
I don't get that.
Makes Cleveland Browns games must see. It makes everybody must see. That's the way I opened the program by talking about how he's a unicorn. Must see this. Must see that. Must see him play receiver. Must see him play corner. Because let's not forget, Dion once referred to himself to me
to you.
Yes. He said that he called himself a five-down player. Three on defense, one on special teams, and then the next down on offense. So I guess he's a four-down player where it's three on defense. He hasn't done the special teams thing yet, but maybe, I mean, could you imagine?
I got to imagine.
That'll be the one snap that a coach is like, well, I know that, but that'll be the one snap the coach is like, have a Gatorade.
Take a breather.
Maybe chill for a minute.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take a breath. But, you know, while he's this young, you got to go ahead and do that. Andrew Berry was also asked about the second overall selection. Am I correct in this, Mr. Hoskins? Okay, this is, was his response about thought processes and where it ranks right now and the draft rooms across the NFL and his phone ringing and all that business.
We're still working through everything. You know, we have not made a hard decision in terms of, you know, how we're going to utilize the number two pick. There are a number of guys that we like. You know, our travels, they were the logical touch points that you would make for all prospects who are worthy of being consideration that high in the draft. That's just happened to be where I think maybe a lot of times Mary Kay just becomes like the last place that you stopped. But we're still working through everything. There's a chance that all options are on the board. Maybe I should say that.
Yeah, I mean, all options are on the board. Mary Kay referring to the person. Every press conference begins with Mary Kay.
Yeah. In
Cleveland. Mary Kay Cabin, who's been on this program many times.
Yep.
So, listen, all options are on the table. Makes complete sense. What a and could you, this is my only way of, I guess, analyzing this for the moment. Could you imagine if Myles Garrett wasn't re-signed, what this conversation would be like right now? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they didn't, you know, give him 40 million reasons per year to just reverse course, what this conversation, there's like sort of a calmness around this pick where he's just like, oh, all options are on the table. We're talking about a quarterback.
Right.
We're talking about a unicorn that can play two positions. We're talking about one of the top pass rushers. That's what we're interested in here at the Cleveland Browns. Oh, what's your next question about my second overall selection? Thank you for that question. I'm happy to do a follow-up. If Myles Garrett wasn't signed, oh my God. What a whole different tenor to the entire week this would be.
Yep.
So they got that piece checked off and well done. Well done. He's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. We're going to Green Bay, by the way. We're going to Green Bay.
Can't wait.
Jordan Love here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of Toyota. How are you, Jordan?
Let's go.
Good, Rich. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm gonna just give you a position to do what you do professionally, which is help those around you. I have both Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur on my show in studio next week, and I want a question for each of them from you.
Oh,
and I don't have to tell them it's from you, I can. And I'm giving you this option right off the bat. What question would you think I need to ask Matt LaFleur, Jordan? I've got a pen in my hand.
What questions do you need to ask Matt LaFleur?
Yes.
About before the draft.
What do you think? Could be about anything.
I think you need to ask them what school produces the best NFL players. What college produces the most talent?
Okay. Is that a way of you saying Utah State?
Yeah, that's the way of me saying Utah State.
I'll ask.
We got some guys coming out of Utah State for the draft.
Okay, I'll ask that of Gutekunst, since that's kind of his lane, right? That's kind of his lane. What about your head coach? It could be anything, Jordan. It could be anything. And if you want, I can make sure there's no fingerprints on this, with the exception that this is being broadcast on national television and radio. But what would this be for Matt LaFleur? What do you think?
Matt LaFleur, I think you need to ask Matt, we'll have a little funny question. You need to ask him who the best basketball player is on the Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
Coaches, players, everybody. Ask him that.
Okay. Who's a basketball player? Does he hoop it up or no?
Matt used to hoop it up. That might be another question you can ask him. I don't think he's been hooping recently.
Okay. That'll be a follow-up. So then I'll ask you that question then. What is the answer to that question?
Oh, it's myself for sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm looking at our graphic at the bottom of the screen. There is no I in Jordan or Love. I don't understand this. I don't understand where we're going on this, man.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right. So what's going through your mind about last season? Does it ever creep into you when you, it looks like you're in a driving in a wheel of a, behind a car in a car right now. So when you're just by yourself alone, do you think about last season? And if so, what goes through your mind, Jordan?
Oh man, come on. You're always thinking about last season and especially, you know, the way it ended and you kind of ended the season. You know, everybody's trying to win the Super Bowl. Obviously only one team, leaves feeling happy. So, you know, we still got a bad taste in our mouth, from that last game down there in Philly. So, you know, I've watched all the tape this off season and, you know, figured out things I need to work on, get better on as a team and areas we need to improve on. But, you know, you're trying to just go back and recap the season, what you did, at a high level, what you didn't do as well and, get a feel for that coming into the next season.
All right. So what is it? What have you gleaned from film that you're willing to share that, okay, I'm going to do this next year as opposed to what we just did?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, you know, I was dealing with injury last year, but I think a big part of my game that I was missing last year was being able to, you know, get on the move, scramble a little bit more, take off a run at sometimes and just extend plays and create some more, you know, off schedule plays is, I think, a big part of the offense that we were missing that I didn't do as well of a job on. So that's definitely something I'm trying to focus on going into this year.
Okay. And so I can't believe I gave you an opportunity to ask me the general manager a question. I mean, I how about this? I could ask Gutekunst, shouldn't you draft another wide receiver for Jordan Love? How about that? What do you think?
You can ask him that if that's your question for him.
I mean, just or it can be a lineman, right, to keep you upright. I mean, it could be anything like that. Or
if you want to ask him that, go for it. Okay. You know?
I'm trying to help you. You know, I'm just trying to help you out.
I think Goody's going to do a great job of helping me out. You know, I got all the faith in the world in him, and I think he'll do a great job at, okay, at getting help for me.
I like that very much. Your draft night memory is what?
Man, my draft night memory is being at my house in 2020 and getting that call from the Green Bay Packers at pick 26 and just being excited. You know, that's what we put all this work in for. That's the moment everybody's waiting to hear their name called. So, you know, it's a special moment for me being at home with my family and getting a life-changing call.
Did you have any expectation or was it a total shock to you that Green Bay called you, Jordan?
You know, it was a total shock. I think going into that year, we had a pretty good feel of what teams were looking to draft quarterbacks. And, you know, once some of those guys with Joe Burrow and Tua and Justin Herbert were taken by some of those teams, it was kind of up in the air, like who might be taking a quarterback next. So, you know, I had to play the sit and wait game for a little bit and we got down to 26. And I definitely had no idea about the Green Bay Packers. You know, I don't think anybody realized they're going to take a quarterback with having A-Rod still there. But so it was definitely a shock to me, but it was great news.
Yeah, because I've been talking to so many of the quarterback prospects in this year's draft. I just hung up on a Zoom with Kyle McCord last hour, just trying to find out, you know, who have you talked to? What sense do you have? And did you talk to the Packers at all? Did you have a top 30 visit with them? Anything like that during the process?
Yeah, so, I mean, during the process, is that's the craziest part, is during the draft, I mean, during the combine, during the Senior Bowl, things like that, you talk to every team, you know, whether those teams are even looking for a quarterback or not. So it's hard to really get a feel for what teams are looking for that, what teams like you, unless they just straight up give you an answer. But some of these teams, I feel like trying to keep their cards close to their chest. So it's hard. But I did talk to the Green Bay Packers actually the night before. I talked to Matt. You know, I talked to Hackett at the time, who was the OC, and it was just a quick interview, the same as you do with a lot of the other teams. So I never really got any tips or things like that might be looking for me. But, you know, I'd say for a player, it is definitely a hectic process, you know, talking to all these different teams, not knowing who might be trying to take you. So you never know. So it's very hectic.
So you're here courtesy of Toyota. Interesting. Is this part of the marketing that you're in a car zooming into this show to talk about Toyota? Is this part of the marketing plan, Jordan?
Yeah, it's all part of it.
Okay. I'll give you the floor then, because it involves NFL flag football, which is awesome.
Yes, sir. No, I'm partnering with Toyota. And as you know, the draft being in Green Bay, you know, we're partnering with the NFL flag football team in the area to be able to give them the opportunity to go up on stage during day three of the draft and actually announce a pick, which I think is an awesome opportunity for the girls team to be able to do that. Hopefully they can envision themselves doing big things in the sport one day and trying to achieve the dreams that the guys getting their name called up on stage are doing so well at. And then also shout out to Toyota, because we're going to be partnering and covering the registration fees for all the flag football teams in the area of Green Bay for the next season to, you know, be able to give them that opportunity to go out there and play the sport that we all love, that I grew up playing, and, you know, hopefully empower more people to get out there and have the opportunity to, you know, be the future of the sport.
Yeah, and you're giving a local girls flag football team a front row seat, right, at the draft as well? That's pretty cool, man.
They'll have a front row seat of the draft. That's They'll be able to go up on stage, announce a pick. So it's this pretty special opportunity for that team, and you know, I'm excited for that.
I'm excited for that, for those girls, and obviously for everybody involved with this venture with Toyota. Before I let you go, Jordan, your team takes on the Packers take on the Steelers this upcoming season. May or may not be happening overseas, from what little birdies are telling me on this front. So when you take on the Steelers, Jordan, who do you think the starting quarterback is going to be for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Jordan Love, what do you think?
That's a great question. That is a very good question. You know, I've heard a lot of rumors that it might be Aaron Rodgers. You know, we'll see. With obviously with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson both leaving, you know, it's an open window. So it's up in the air. We'll see. You guys got the picture of A-Rod up there.
Yeah. That's our opinion. I'm just going to give you
he goes there. You know, I was just talking. I would love to get the opportunity to play against A-Rod. You know, having a guy that mentored me in the league was someone I got to be a backup behind. To be able to get the opportunity to play against him and be on the other side of him, it would be special. It would be cool. So we'll see. It's up in the air. I have no idea. I wish I could get some info, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're out of the guessing what Aaron Rodgers is going to do with his career game. You left that one on the side of the road, to use another car analogy, a while ago. But I just figured I'd give you a tire kick on that one, Jordan. Okay. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. We have our questions for next week, courtesy of you. And we'll let you know what the answers are.
Yeah, I hope they have some fun answers for that.
I hope so, too.
We'll light the mood up a little bit with those guys.
Okay. Well, we're going to be in Green Bay, so hopefully we'll run into you, and I'll give you the answer in person.
Yeah, have fun. Enjoy Green Bay. It's going to be a great time.
Are you going to be on the stage at all?
I will not be on the stage.
Are you sure?
Draft. That's why we're letting the girls flag football team go up there and announce the
stage. Jordan, you know the commissioner needs an anti-boo shield. You know they usually does that when he comes out. I think you're the perfect person in Green Bay to come out there and help the commissioner.
Sure. I'm sure we'll have plenty of talent go up there and announce the pick. It'll be a great time.
Okay. Thanks for the time, Jordan Love. You be well.
Thank you. I'll see you, Rich.
You got it. It's Jordan Love, everybody, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of Toyota. How about that, Hart? Jordan, we're going to have – we want you to sit in a car. He's not driving.
No.
Do you think he's just in a stationary Toyota?
You know, it might be one of those situations you see in movies where it's being towed by a trailer, so it looks like they're moving.
Right.
So he can just sit behind the wheel and you're
like, if you could be inside of absolutely anything that you're coming on to promote – It would have to be, your choice would have to be like whiskey, right? You know what I mean?
Like inside of a bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
Inside of
with
one
a straw.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean?
Kind of going to town like Strange Brew.
Trying to think.
Yeah, very possible. That's a good one.
Okay. Like if you're Costanza, you're promoting velvet. You know what I mean? Crushed velvet.
Okay. Yeah, velvet. Socially acceptable.
I think you're picking it where I'm putting down.
I'm picking them up.
Okay. Let's take a break and talk to Bud. I think the last time I spoke to Bud Selig was the night of the All-Star Game tie.
No way.
I swear to God.
Were you doing ESPN Radio?
I was indeed.
Wow.
That might have been the last time I spoke to Bud Selig. That's about to change next. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. We know just how fast your life moves. You have bills to pay, mouths to feed, and not a lot of free time. That's why we created an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on. It can save you time and money with new lightning-fast direct deposit setup, and it offers checking accounts with ATM refunds and no service fees. Plus, whether you have credit or not, you can build your credit score with the new ability to report on-time bill payments. And with personalized financial insights on My Making Sense, the ability to view all your accounts in one place, custom notifications, and 24/7 fraud protection, you can get a full picture of your finances. So if you want an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on, sign up today. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Insured by NCUA. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, or brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
What was it like shooting that scene, though, with Ray Kinsella and his father?
What I did was I went back to when I first read it. And so I become the audience when I read it. And when I read it, I went, I couldn't believe that it had orchestrated itself to that thing. And I had that feeling on the couch. And so I knew if I played that straight, if I didn't wink at anybody, that these players did come, you know, that's my corn. You know, they kept coming after me. I wasn't going to be able to do that movie. I was going to do Revenge. And I got into Revenge kept getting pushed. And finally, I had to put my foot down and say, look, if you don't get this movie together, I'm going to go to do this movie in the corn. I asked the director, why did you hold out for me so long? Why? And he said, well, and this is one of the greatest actors we've ever seen. He goes, they wanted me to do it, Robin Williams. And I said, Robin Williams is perfect. He said, yeah, but when I think of Robin, I think he does hear voices in the corn. And I don't want that. People don't believe you hear voices. That's a director that makes a save. That's a Mariano Rivera, you know?
Sure.
It's a save. He saved his movie because of his belief in an idea, you know, not the quality of actor, because Robin Williams will never.
Of course.
This is a guy so special. But I was curious. I said, he's actually a bigger star than me, you know, whatever. And he goes, I need somebody that you don't think hears voices.
And that would be you. I've never heard Robin Williams was considered for that role. That's unbelievable. And then you did it. And obviously we're talking about it today.
Yeah. It had gold dust on it when I read it, because I did that little intake of breath. Do you want to have a catch? And of course, I wept myself.
Oh, man. One of the greats, Kevin Costner. All of his appearances can be caught right here on the Rich Eisen Show with the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the program, I'm on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We are on our happy stream, not just on the radio, but of course on the Roku channel, which we've been on for the last 3 years. Love being here and love being part of the sports world that we're growing here on the Roku Sports Channel. There is a terrific documentary that's available for free on the Roku channel right now. And I have to say the title appropriately, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. And joining us right now in advance of, it's out there right now, but joining us right now in support of that documentary is the longtime owner of the Milwaukee Brewers and the ninth commissioner of Major League Baseball, who I used to chat with regularly back in the day as the initial host of ESPN Radio's coverage of Major League Baseball, Bud Selig. Good to see you, Commissioner Emeritus. How are you?
Well, I'm well, and it's good to see you, and I miss the many chats that we had.
Right? We did, man. And many of them took place on the turf at Yankee Stadium, because the Yankees were in the World Series quite a bit back in that time in the late 90s when I was there at ESPN. But we're here to talk about the Brew Crew of 1982. Your recollections of that team, of this, and as in support of this documentary that it got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is means it's outstanding. Take it away.
Well, it was a really interesting year. It went down to the last day of the season, in the regular season. We won in Baltimore, Maryland. We had a marvelous team. We had Robin Yount and Paul Molitor and Raleigh Fingers and Cecil Cooper and on and on and on. Ted Simmons. And of course, Bob Uecker is very prominent in all that. And so this makes me a little sad, but it was an extraordinary season. And I'm going to say this right at the outset. I even got Whitey Herzog. If Fingers didn't get hurt, we win in 5 games in the World Series. Mm-hmm. But he did get hurt. They were a bunch of characters, Pete Vukovic and Ben Ogilvy. And it was Teddy Simmons, as I said. It was a remarkable group of guys. And it's a year we never forgot. There we all are. And interestingly enough, when you look back, we had 5 Hall of Famers, Rich.
You sure did. And most of them are right there up on the screen. And
They certainly are. No question about it.
And you can include, Uecker in that regard. And I guess, but what's the first time you ever met Bob Uecker? When was that story?
Well, that's an interesting story. I guess I met Bob in about 1959 or 60. Mm-hmm. And we became friends. And, of course, he's a Milwaukee guy. And later on, we got the Brewers. And so Bob did some speaking for us. He came up here from Atlanta. He wanted to come home. And we went to the New York Baseball Writers' Dinner. You remember those dinners, Rich?
Yes, I do.
And in January of 1971, he and I went out together after the dinner. And we were talking, and I said, it was very simple. It was just, Bob, you ought to come to work for the Brewers. I'll find something for you to do. He said, I'm in. That was it. And the first year, we already had a full broadcast team, and our sponsor was a very good friend of mine, Schlitzbury. They had a full crew, so we had to work around that. And so I had to find something for him to do, and I finally made him a scout. And I sent him up to the Northern League, which was minor league at that time. And it's a famous story around here. he went up scouting. And Rich, I had Frank Lane. You remember old Frank Lane, bombastic general manager, had been all around. And he comes, Roy, he was helping. He was a fill-in, and he really did good work for us, but that's neither here nor there. He said, what do you want me to do with your guy, Euchre? And I said, well, Frank, he's a baseball guy, was a catcher. He should have about him. Well, look at this report. And he throws it on my desk, and on the report, he threw it on and laughed. There was all a bunch of mashed potatoes, gravy, all over the thing. And I think, so I later asked him, Bob, what the hell are you doing? And he says, well, you know, Al, he called me Al, the only person in the world that ever called me. He said, what the hell, I was doing the work, and every player that he scouted, he rated as a prospect.
That's a problem.
He hedged his bet. And the next year, to get him on the radio, he said to Hedder Schlitz, I'll pay half if you'll pay half. He was making 12 grand. So I paid six and they paid six. And he began a broadcast. Merle Harmon was with him, and a local fellow, Tom Collins. And they walked out on him. The first game in Yankee Stadium, they walked in, let him do it, and he was so nervous. And, you know, he's known for so many things, and I know him so well. But he made himself into a great announcer.
He sure did.
People sometimes don't. I used to listen to ninth innings after we won, of course.
Yes.
And Bob was, it was just tremendous. And so from that, from those beginnings, we never had a contract. And he never had a contract with Mark Antanasio, who bought the team from us in 05. Each year he'd come in and say, well, what do you think? And we'd talk for a minute, and he'd say, okay. And I'd say, okay, and that was it.
It's just, again, I just remember growing up, Bud, watching him on Carson, you know,
yeah,
telling stories on Johnny Carson, and then obviously the fact that, you know, this documentary, you're featuring it prominently, so is Euchre and Yount and Molitor and Simmons and Raleigh Fingers, as you just mentioned. It is called Just a Bit Outside, even though, you know, that was a for the Cleveland franchise and the movie Major League. I love hearing that story. So if you don't mind, talking about your commissionership, when you watch baseball today, are there any of the new rules that you're seeing that Rob Manfred was able to get in that you tried to get in or well, anything that, like that?
Rich, you know, that's an interesting question. I'm reminded by Tony La Russa and Joe Torre, Joe in particular, very close to both of them. But in about, let's see, it would have been 2012, 2013, 2014, they recommended the pitch clock. But it took us that long, even after I was gone, and Rob and I have talked about it, to get the Players Association to agree with it. I love the pitch clock. I didn't think I would. I'm very cautious. But it's a rule that has really helped us. So, but that's how long that was around.
No kidding, because I was the same way, too. I thought this is going to ruin everything, and it's been awesome. It's been something else. Like,
I can remind you of this, Rich, and you and I may have talked about it. When I came up with the wild card, we got killed. Oh, he's ruining baseball. Oh, you know, this and that. And it was bad. It was ugly. Well, the wild card has been the best thing we ever did. In fact, it's sort of shocking to think what would we be without it.
Mm. Bud Selig here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you ever come close to unbanning Pete Rose, Bud?
I really don't want to talk too much about it, but the answer is no.
Okay. And then just a quick follow-up question. Why no? if you don't mind.
Well, Rich, I was brought up for many, many, many years in the game, understanding that it's our most sacred rule and that gambling in any shape, form, could be devastating. And so there's much I could say if you read the Dowd report and all the other things, and Bart Giamatti suspended him, did absolutely the proper thing. And in the retrospect of history, I think the right thing was done, and I followed suit, and I have very strong feelings on that subject.
Clearly. And looking back at your commissionership, if you could change one thing, what would that be, Bud Selig?
I don't know if I'd change, but I'm a believer in revenue sharing. I think what Pete Rozelle did, as you'll well remember, when he was a young man, get him share revenue to a point of 90%. And other things I would have pushed harder at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't.
But I did. Baseball didn't share any revenue, Rich. None, not a nickel. And in 1996, we made a deal. I'll never forget, Wayne Huizenga was the... And Huizenga and his wife went out, and I went out for dinner to celebrate. And it was the first time. So bringing a sport into that, I was very proud of it. And we expanded it. We got up to $500-600 million, and it was good. But, Rich, you need to do more.
Mm-hmm. You got a good Steinbrenner story for me, Bud? Your favorite George M. Steinbrenner III story?
Well, I have a lot of them. You know the interesting part? We never agreed on anything, but we became extremely close friends. Once I became commissioner, and George, to his dying day, said he was the first one to talk to me about becoming a commissioner. But, well, there are a lot of them. I don't know where to start. But one day, I'll tell you, my wife and I went out to Yankee Stadium. This is well before I was a commissioner, back in 78. Mm-hmm. George and I had already become close. The Brewers were in town to play the Yankees. We were actually better than they were, which was driving George crazy. And his assistant was, we came in the office and she was crying, and that got my wife's attention. Who was close to George also, I have to say that. Well, apparently she had ordered the wrong kind of sandwich for his lunch, and he was mad he fired her.
Come on.
No, that's a fact. Believe me, you couldn't make this up. And my wife went in and talked to him. He rehired her right on the spot.
Oh, my gosh.
But there are a lot of George stories. But in the end, with all the things that went on, I have a different view. George, in the 23 years I was commissioner, now he died in 2009, never caused me a problem. He and Bowie Kuhn hated each other, and there were other things, but somehow... I have a different view of George M. III than others.
Well, I mean, I imagine if you're trying to get revenue sharing, wouldn't the Yankees have been the one team to push back on that sort of thing?
That's part of life. As I used to say to him, the New York, the Mariners shared revenue, and he just shrugged his shoulders. Well, there are a lot of answers to that, Rich. Yes.
Right. I mean, the Giants and Yankees used to be co-tenants. Obviously, that was before Giants, the Steinbrenners owned the Yankees.
That's right.
But you tried that approach, huh? Hey, look at the Mariners. They're sharing revenue. And he just said, oh, I don't care.
And look how well they did.
That's exactly right.
I'm talking about
understood
franchise and what. Yeah, I did a lot of things with George. All of which were true, but. You had to be patient and you had to keep going.
I bet. So what do you want people to know about this documentary and the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers?
Wonderful, marvelous team with five Hall of Famers. We had characters. You had Pete Vukovich and Rowley Fingers. And I'm telling you, this is as good a documentary as you're ever going to see. It is really. I know it's the 82 Brewers, and it went to the state of Wisconsin. It's huge. But I'm telling you, Rich, this one is so good. The characters are there. It's different from anything I've ever seen, and I think these guys did a remarkable job. And there's a picture from the 82 World Series against the Cardinals. And I'll say it again, because I used to say this to Whitey Herzog all the time. Give me Fingers and we win. We were that good.
There he is. There's Raleigh with his famous handlebar mustache there. And again, it's available right now for free on the Roku channel. Are you still on the board of the Packers?
I am.
Bud, you are. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm ex-officio, you know, when you get to a certain age. In fact, I just hung up from talking to Bob Harlan, who you remember was the president of the Packers for many years. He was an extremely close friend of mine, and we do talk a lot. And I just told him I was going on the Rich Eisen show. I really want to emphasize.
Yes, sir.
From a human element. When you watch this thing, it is remarkable. And forget all the characters, as I said, like Vukovich and Simmons and people like that. But it was a great year, special year, with a very unique group of people, including Uecker, I may add.
Well, I'm told it's one of, if not his final, sit-down interview of his remarkable life for this documentary. I believe.
That's true. That's right.
Man.
You remember the term just a bit outside.
Of course, yes.
It came from the movie, and it was Uecker.
That's right. You did you like Major League? Did you see the movie, Bud?
About 112 times. I saw it the other night. There wasn't much to watch, but I saw it again, and I watched it again. And just watching Uecker made me laugh.
I bet. What's your favorite baseball movie then? You got to choose one. Which one's that?
That's a good one. That's all right.
There's a whole host of them.
There are a whole host of them. I'm old fashioned. I love the Lou Gehrig story.
Mm-hmm. Get the Pride of the Yankees.
And the movie with Kevin Costner.
Field of Dreams?
Not Field of Dreams.
Oh, Bull Durham.
No.
Okay. For the love of the game.
For the love of the game.
Okay. Yeah.
That actually has become my favorite baseball movie.
Is that right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's a labor of love for him. Costner, he will love to hear that.
But I can news for I really enjoyed that movie. It's a great movie with a great Vince Scully in the middle of that movie.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it was. Rich, it was terrific.
Yeah, he got Vin to do the play-by-play for the end. He told a story when he was here on the show where he just told Vin, you know, it was interesting. How do you give notes to Vin Scully on how to call a game, right? But he, you know, he just let him go. And Vin did his thing, you know?
He did. As only he could.
That was absolutely so. What a pleasure to catch up with you, Bud Selig. Again,
well, it's a pleasure to catch up with you, and hopefully we'll do this soon.
I appreciate that. The Commissioner Emeritus of Major League Baseball, just a bit outside. Did I say that right?
You did. Okay, and you said it just like Uecker would have said.
I will take that to the bank. The story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers available now for free on the Roku channel. You be well, sir. We'll chat soon.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. Pleasure to see you.
Right back at you. That's Bud Selig right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun stuff right there. Going down memory lane. We will take a break. Aaron Rodgers is talking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
What was your baseball game like?
My baseball game was pretty good, but I didn't play in high school. I played like recreational league in Babe Ruth.
Okay.
And I used to pitch.
Pitch?
Yeah.
As well.
Pitch and hit, yeah.
So what was your pitching game like?
My pitching game was pretty good. I mean, I didn't, you know, I was a heavy ball. I had no idea how fast I was throwing. But people used to say, man, you got a heavy ball.
So when we're watching you swing in Major League as Pedro Serrano.
Yeah.
Is that your swing?
That's my swing. Oh, and I don't know if we ever talked about this, but every ball I hit out, I hit out, except not as far as they shot it out because they have to reverse the camera.
Hold on a second, Dennis Haysbert. how many home runs did you hit?
I hit three in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. I think I hit three in the movie. I hit every one of them I hit out.
Okay. And all the batting practice you
oh, yeah. I used to hit routinely.
So were you the best hitter of all the actors in
that movie? I would say so. So Charlie and I were the only guys that could really play baseball. Wesley was really athletic.
Okay.
And could run, but wasn't much of a hitter.
He couldn't hit, but could Charlie hit, or he was just...
Charlie could hit, and Charlie could pitch.
But you went yard more than anybody else in the cast of Major League.
Except for the baseball guys that were out there.
Actual. So who was the worst?
Oh, I can't. I won't say.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can. That microphone works. Corbin Burnson, could he?
Corbin was okay. I think Tom Berenger was like maybe the
worst. No kidding.
Yeah. I love you, Tom. You forced it out of me, man.
Were you superstitious as well? Are you a superstitious guy?
Not really, but I realized how superstitious baseball players are.
There is no doubt.
I mean, I used to have a lot of guys come up to me and say, you know, hey, man, we used to play this movie on the bus going to the game. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, set firecrackers off on our bats to, you know, to wake them up.
Did anybody have rum? Did anyone incorporate rum?
They started using that. A lot of guys said they started
using it. Baseball players started
using rum.
Do you have any artifacts from the film anywhere?
Finally got a Jobu doll. I don't have the original because I wanted to get rid of that because, you know, that was voodoo I was practicing. And I said, you know what? Certain things you got to leave on the set. You know, and somebody took that, and I don't know where they are now because I haven't heard from them again.
Right.
So they took a voodoo doll, man. I said, okay.
Okay.
No. Dennis, so I have a facsimile.
You have a facsimile of Jobu.
Uh-huh. Yes. We have, we got something for everything on our YouTube channel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Very bad.
So.
To drink Jobu's
rum. Jobu's rum. Very bad. 844-204.
Jobu needs a refill.
Hey, barkeep.
Major League 2. Do you ever see it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's Omar Epps instead of Wesley Snipes.
I mean, it's better than Caddyshack 2.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But
Caddyshack 2, yeah. One of the worst sequels ever.
Yeah, The Sting 2 is up there with that, too.
Yep.
Shouldn't have been made.
Shouldn't have been made.
Best sequels? Godfather Part 2?
Terminator 2?
Terminator 2.
Empire Strikes Back.
Correct.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back is better than the original Star Wars.
Dark Knight is technically
Dark Knight's
a
pretty
sequel.
Good too. Yeah. I like it. Very good. And you know it's a great sequel? Hour two of the show.
Hey,
always.
Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers available class-exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai is over 130 IIHS top safety awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. IIHS top safety awards include top safety pick and top safety pick-in awards to Hyundai vehicles from 2006 to 2025. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. So Miami Heat, the Miami Heat doing Miami Heat things, guys, right. Which is killing the play-in tournament game. To suddenly start playing basketball like they really didn't do consistently at all throughout all 82 regular season games. And now, if I'm Atlanta, I'm saying, uh-oh.
Yep.
You know, and we better hope Trae Young doesn't let the officials get in his skull, because we kind of need him. We kind of need him for all 40 minutes.
Yeah, just don't make a mockery of the sport.
Don't make a mockery of the sport on Turner. I mean, what is a town where Mo Green has no plaque or a signpost or anything like that?
I'm gonna guess.
Say the Heat's gonna win this one.
I'm gonna guess it's kind of even. Yeah, Miami minus one.
And then the unique situation with the Mavericks just spanking the Sacramento Kings.
Spanking.
That, you know, every 2 seconds, ESPN kept showing Nico Harrison, right. The general manager of the Dallas Mavericks. And
all part of his plan.
Honestly, like, if there's any guy that's sitting there looking like he is throwing up in his mouth every 2 seconds. And again, he might be sitting there going, "Well, how am I supposed to look? I'm just watching the basketball
just watching
game."
The game. Right.
But it kind of looks like, you know, his inner monologue. I would just love, you know,
maybe
obviously
did this.
You know, obviously, no. Tim McMahon of ESPN would say his inner monologue is saying how defense wins championships.
Right.
You know, which is all he said in the press conference. We call it a press conference when it's just for the local media, where no cameras or recording devices are allowed.
Fireside chat.
That was
like,
weird. The whole thing is just weird. And then him just not acknowledging that he's out of draft choices and his control from 27 through 30. So you got to win now. And why are you trading away a 25-year-old all-time great? And he wouldn't even, you know. He kept on making it seem like Luka wasn't going to sign the Supermax. And what McMahon or somebody else responds by, he was crying on the bench. Like, of course he wanted to stay with you guys.
He just bought a $10 million house in Dallas.
Like, of course he's going to sign the Supermax. All right.
Whatever.
Well, yada, yada, yada. They ended a very disappointing Sacramento Kings season in which they get one and done in a home game at, you know, in the 9-10 play-in tournament level. Fired their coach, traded away De'Aaron Fox.
Wow.
And they don't even get a playoff appearance. They don't even win a play-in game. And DeMar DeRozan, his first season there was a total washout. I mean, it's kind of wild. He didn't even have his daughter screeching during free throws last night. Like, that wasn't even employed.
I don't think it would have helped last night.
So, but the Mavericks, God bless them, they can be the 8 seed. And the crazy thing is, you know, oh, by the way, the Kings fired their general manager today as well.
Oh, yeah.
So they fire their GM, they fire their coach, they fired De'Aaron Fox, I guess, and they get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy thing. Do you know the Memphis Grizzlies, who are hosting the Mavericks on Friday night, it would be better for them to lose? Because, as Bobby Marks pointed out, if they win Friday, their first round pick goes to Washington. And if they lose, they retain their first, right in the middle of the first round. So if you win,
if you win,
you lose your first round pick and you play the 90 million win Oklahoma City Thunder. Okay.
Yeah. If you lose, I guess you're still alive for Cooper Flagg.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, I guess you got a dumb and dumb ping pong ball, right?
Yeah. We've seen it
what
before.
What do you do? You fired your coach.
Wow.
You couldn't even get a look at the end of a game. That was poor.
Yeah.
But I guess you got to win, right?
You got to try to win.
And hey, if the Mavericks make the playoffs, Nico Harrison, that means at least one would think 5 to 7 more games of tight shots of him looking like he's vomiting in his mouth. Am I wrong? Is this a wrong analysis of all this?
I don't think so.
No, here's what we need.
What?
We need the Mavericks to make the playoffs.
Yes.
somehow upset Oklahoma City.
Playoff Clay shows up. By the way, they've got players, man.
AD's balling. And then maybe we see them against the Lakers
okay.
in the
playoffs. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying right there.
There's no way 8 plays 3. Right?
It'd be in the finals, Western finals.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Not with the Warriors sitting there.
Never know.
You did an Overreaction Monday subject that either the Lakers or the Warriors are going to wind up in the Western Conference Finals, correct?
I did.
I don't know. Oklahoma City's pretty damn good, man. Yep.
They're the best team in the league. 68 wins. That's a lot.
And then the Miami Heat playing like the Miami Heat, showing up in Cleveland.
Never know.
No, I think they still win that one.
No, it seems like we're on a Thunder-Celtics collision course, but, you know, you never know.
Why does it feel that way to you? You know that the Celtics aren't the top seed, right? You know that, right?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
The defending champs, the best turning five in the NBA, and the betting odds say that they're both the same odds.
Are you feeling that way too, Mr. Philadelphia? Are you feeling that way?
About what he just said?
No, are you feeling that way? He just kind of feels like it's Thunder Celtics.
I can feel it. The fact is, halfway through the season, I went up to him before the show and I was just like, these Celtics. And he knew what I meant. I think he knew I was resigned to the fact that they're going to the finals. Thunder, I still don't know about, but
what more do they have to prove? 68 wins and like the record efficiency and point differential.
Just seeing how people are. I've seen a few posts here and there about how some of the calls that Shea's been getting, well, he's not getting in the playoffs.
Free throw dependent.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so, yeah.
All right.
So we'll see. Aaron Rodgers has spoken. Jahan Campbell is zooming. That's next.
Let's do it.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back.
There's been so many times where I'm like, I apologize that I said that, but that wasn't meant for you to hear.
Feel you there.
How fun would it be to bring in some Bravo celebrities and make our own bracket?
Iconic.
All right, I'll take Dorinda, you take Sonia.
Sonia is who I wish I could be.
You and me both. I cannot be someone in the program. What's PTO?
Paid time off, see? Oh. You never had a real job.
Give them Lala.
It is nothing but honesty.
You guys know.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.